It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You and I are privileged to be living at this present time. We are now living in the dispensation of the church. That means those of us who are saved are privileged to be able to serve Christ, and those who have never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and this may be you I'm speaking to, you are privileged to be living during this time because you can call upon the Lord and be saved. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. If you never trusted Him, the Bible says you're lost, and you're on your way to a devil's hell. Now, God doesn't want you there. He wants you to be saved. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But there's so many things that we look at during this age that we live in, the church age, the dispensation of the church. We've looked at some of those things, and we saw how that the Lord has commanded us and those of us who are saved to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've also seen how that people have been saved and are still being saved today through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've also seen how that God has graciously allowed us humans to tell the world, other people, about God's love. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath been who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." He's speaking there, of course, in His word, to save people. People have been martyred for their testimony of the Lord. And we looked at the illustration of Stephen, how that he was martyred, how that Paul the Apostle, who was not Paul the Apostle at that time, he was known as Saul of Tarsus, how that Saul of Tarsus stood by and watched Stephen get murdered. But then later on, we know that Paul's name was changed, that the Apostle became Paul the Apostle. He was known as Saul of Tarsus, but when he got saved, his name was changed to Paul. And later on, after he had, as Saul of Tarsus stood by and watched Stephen get martyred, Paul got saved. Saul of Tarsus got saved. His name became Paul. And later on in 2 Timothy 4:6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered." He too would be a martyr, and he was martyred for the cause of Christ, just as Stephen was. He says, "In the time of my departure is at hand." He was ready to go to be with the Lord. We've also seen how that there are different gifts that have been bestowed on saved men and women during this church age that we live in. And we've also seen how that on the day of Pentecost, that the 120 who were in the upper room, that number of them increased. There was over 3,000 souls saved, or about 3,000 on the day of Pentecost who got saved. And this would be added to those 120. In other words, there would be approximately 3,120 people at that time who had become members of God's church. How? Because they had trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, we've also seen and talked about how that the saved are empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the good news of the gospel. Some people say, "Well, I'm just so bashful. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could tell others about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior." Well, as we read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 again, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." God is not only speaking to those people living back in the book of Acts here, and as we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He's not only speaking to those people on the day of Pentecost, He's speaking to those of us today who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's given us power. Some people believe they cannot be a witness for the Lord. Now, let me say there's many different ways that you can witness for the Lord. You can have a gospel tract with you, and you can hand that to someone. I found out even in my own Christian life, when I first got saved, that of course I was not ready to go out and open the Bible and go through every verse telling people how to be saved, but I started passing out tracts. And the more I passed out, I started reading the Word of God, I'd read the tracts, and I became acquainted with what God wanted me to tell people. And as I did this, I gained confidence. As I started handing out tracts, the more I handed out, the more confident I became that I would be able to help other individuals know Jesus as Savior. So there came a time when I was ready to actually tell someone how they could go to heaven, not in my words, but in the words of the Bible. You see, that's another thing. God has given us power in the Scriptures. The Scriptures is what saves. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I say the Scripture saves you. It tells you how to be saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The more we hand out a tract, the more we look at it, the more we look at the Word of God, the more power from the Holy Spirit we actually experience. The Bible says that we're going to have that power once we get saved. We've asked Jesus into our heart, and we receive the Holy Spirit right then. And back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, God's not only speaking to those people, He's speaking to us today who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, so much has been and will be accomplished during this dispensation that it would be virtually impossible to cover every aspect of the dispensation. In fact, we might compare what John said about the many works of Jesus while he was on the earth to what has been and will be accomplished during this dispensation. John said in John 21 and verse 25 about Jesus, he says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Now, once again, we can't go through everything that's in this dispensation, but I would like for us to concentrate on what some have said represents the good and bad concerning how man has responded to God during this dispensation. In fact, the Bible itself is a witness to how man has, is, and will handle his stewardship in the church age. Remember, man has failed God in every dispensation up to this one. Has and will man fail God during this time of the church? Well, let's look at some aspects of the church found in the Bible. First, I would like for us to look at the seven churches as seen by Christ in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Now, if you've been saved for a while, and you may not have been saved for a long time, but you may have read this in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. And we want to read these verses together today. I pray that you have your Bible ready, the King James Bible, and we're going to read about these seven churches, the seven churches as seen by Christ. First, I see the church at Ephesus. This church would be around AD 30 to 300, and the name means desirable. This would be, and this was, the apostolic church, as seen in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now, the motive of this church started out right, but progressed to the state that we read of in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And this sets before us a church that outwardly exhibits a busy, sound church. We see this. I mean, you can look at this church and say that it was a good church, and people living back then would say, well, this was a good church. But inwardly, it is a church lacking in love, and I believe especially love for Christ. Notice as we read in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, it says there, "Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Well, this church outwardly looked like it was doing what God wanted it to do. Now, I'm speaking of a local church. This was a local church that was located at Ephesus. And evidently, it says there, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee," this is Christ speaking, "because thou hast left thy first love." Well, what would be the first love? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." And then in 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." I believe as I'm reading this about the church at Ephesus, evidently they had lost sight of the fact that one of the reasons that they were saved, not only to go to heaven, but was they were saved so they could love other individuals, bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving each other once that other person got saved, loving them in the Lord. And the main purpose here, I believe, is to tell us that these people had lost sight of the one they were really in love with and should be showing this and doing what he wanted them to do, and that is love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe they stopped showing him love. I believe that they started taking him for granted. It may be like today, like some people take the Lord for granted. "Well, I'm saved. I don't have anything else to do now. I can just sit back and wait for heaven." Or, you know, "It's going to be a bed of roses from this point on because I'm saved. I don't have anything to concern myself with." Well, let me say that being a Christian is not a bed of roses. You will still have problems in this world. And we all have problems because we're human. And the problems of this life will end when we go to be with the Lord. But right now we do have problems. But the main thing I believe was going on in this church at Ephesus is that they had lost sight of their love for the Lord. We need to always thank the Lord for saving us. We need to always be grateful, not take him for granted, but lift him up, not only in prayer as we talk with him, letting him know who he is and what he's done for us, but letting other individuals know him as well. We show the love of Christ when we love other individuals to him. I mean bringing them to the cross, helping them to understand that Jesus saves. And this church at Ephesus, I believe they had gotten away from that. They took the Lord for granted. They had lost their first love. Notice verse 4 again of Revelation chapter 2. "Nevertheless," this is Jesus, "nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee," Jesus speaking. "Why? Because thou hast left thy first love." Who would be the first person you love when you get saved? Well, of course, it's Jesus Christ. He said, you've taken your eyes off of me. And you're evidently, he was saying, you're not loving me the way you should. You've forgotten about me. You've forgotten the one who has saved you. And those of us who are saved, please, let's not forget Jesus Christ. Please, let's not forget to love him. Let's not take him for granted. But remember that he first loved us. And because he loved us, he saved us. He saved us from a devil's hell. And the greatest thing is, we're going to see him in heaven one day. And right now, while we're alive, we can serve him. While we're on this earth, loving him, glorifying him, and bringing others to him to let them know that Jesus saves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had. And I pray that as your word has gone forth, that it will accomplish that which you've sent it. And I know your word says it will. And I just pray your blessings upon those who are listening. And may you save that soul nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.